For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. Today is one of those special shows. I haven't done it for a little while now. Just you and me, no guest. I actually did have a scheduled guest who I really wanted to have on the show. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it, but we'll get her on another time. So it's just the two of us. By the way, did you catch last week's show with Linda Starwolf? It was a wonderful, really nice interview. I hope you get a chance to check it out. So today, we'll get started. First, of course, still doesn't matter whether I have a guest or not. You know, I always start with a blog post from a couple of years ago. And this one, I really like this one. This one is entitled, "The Most Courageous Act is to be kind." We often think of courage as something that shows up in the middle of war, or perhaps in someone overcoming a physical disability. Maybe we think of a kid in the ghetto trying to avoid the gangs. It could be the mother finding a way to leave her abusive husband. There are so many terrible situations that we humans find ourselves in. Whether by choice or by circumstance, one way or another, all of us come face to face with fear. And we tend to think of courage as the thing we need to move through fear. Yes, there is another kind of courage that is equally brave, that warrants similar admiration and praise, though it rarely gets recognized. And that is the bravery to be kind, to open our hearts, heroically being present with someone and giving them a hug when they need it the most. Kindness is rarely associated with bravery, yet it is the bravest thing we can do. To be kind even when those around us are not. Being kind in what can feel like an unkind world is perhaps the bravest act of any human being. For there is so much in this world that makes us wrong for being kind, that belittles us for being kind, and sometimes even persecutes us for being kind. There is no shortage of challenges we experience when we make being kind a priority. For we never know if someone is just taking advantage of our kindness or if it is truly needed. So being kind is not for the faint of heart. It is not for those who care too much about what others think. It truly takes a brave heart and the courage to withstand any criticism to be kind. And that is a courage that is rarely recognized. Are you courageous enough to be kind? You know, it's so interesting that I wrote this a couple of years ago, and I feel like it's more true today than it's ever been before. And I just want to be clear on something, because sometimes people think of kind as being a pushover, as not standing up for ourselves, as not having good boundaries. And that is not it at all. Being kind has nothing to do with being a pushover. In fact, when we're truly being kind, when it's not easy to be kind, we're anything but a pushover. But I wrote this blog. It was actually out of a comment that my wife made about something I had done about being kind and not necessarily in a very kind interaction with another person. And she said, you know, it actually takes a lot of courage to be kind. And that just started this whole blog post. And I really believe that's true. Because so much in this world tries to indoctrinate us into this idea that it's not good to be kind, that people are just going to take advantage of you. You have to look out for yourself. Any of that sound familiar to any of you? You know, I heard it a lot growing up. Well, you have to look out for yourself because no one else will. We can look out for ourselves and we can still be kind. So often in this world, kindness is seen as an act of weakness. And I am here to tell you today, it is anything but weak. And I feel that it's time that we finally turn this euphemism of, you know, kindness being weak on its head. And that we not allow that kind of a mind virus to exist in our society anymore. Kindness is not an act of weakness. It is an act of strength. It is an act of strength because it's saying, I am strong enough to respond in a kind way, even if you're not being kind to me. Tell me, what is a stronger act than that? Kindness is an act of courage and strength because we don't have to be kind. We don't have to care about other people. We don't have to want them to have a good experience. We can be completely selfish and tyrannical. And I'm sure you can think of a few public figures who might live into that and who would berate someone being kind. And to be able to stand up and face that kind of criticism because you know you're right for being kind in a particular situation, nothing is more courageous in my book. Nothing can be greater than being strong enough to care about another human being, even if we get nothing out of it. See, being kind is not about a transaction. It's not a, oh, I'll be kind to you so you'll be kind to me. That's not true kindness. True kindness is I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to show you some compassion. because it's just the right thing to do. And getting something in return is not even a thought in my mind around it. Other than maybe if we live as an example, maybe the whole world can be a little bit kinder. That would be kind of nice. You know, I did the other night, I was at a networking event and someone asked, why do you do what you do? And I was like, because I want to create a more conscious world, because I want to live in a better world for a selfish reason. I want a better world to live in. So, yes, if you think kindness can be selfish, if it's just that we want to live in a kinder world, I'm all for that kind of selfishness. But being kind, truly being kind when it's not convenient, that takes courage. Like walking down the street and seeing someone trip and fall and helping them to get back up and making sure they're okay, causing you to be a couple of minutes late to meet your friend, that's being kind. Putting yourself out there, trying to help someone, even when you don't have much yourself, that's being kind. And why is it so important to talk about kindness and to talk about the courage it takes to be kind, especially in today's world? Because if we look at what's happening in our government, in our media, in the world stage, unkindness is taking a stronger and stronger hold. Taking an axe and destroying something mindlessly is not a kind act. Cutting off aid to people overnight without helping them in some way to deal with the loss of that aid, that is not kind. And if we allow this kind of behavior to continue without calling it out, without saying anything about it, it's only going to get worse. And so I just feel we all need to be a little more courageous to call out being mean, being a bully, a little bit more. We need to have a little more courage to do that. To say, you know what? What that person is doing is just not right. Now, look, I'm not saying we need to find more things to divide us. We're divided enough as it is. As a matter of fact, I feel kindness is one of those acts that can actually bring people together. But part of having the courage to be kind means also having the courage to stand up to somebody when they're not being kind. And we all can do it in our own way. And it's not about getting in a fight, and it's not about name calling. It's about showing up in a better way. It's about being a better human being. It's about setting the example for the children and for future generations to say there's a better way of being. That we don't have to be callous and crass and mean and uncaring and hurt other people with our whims. We do not have to be like that. And we do not have to celebrate people being like that either. We do not have to give that our energy and our attention. Yes, we need to know when those things are happening. And at the same time, we need to put our energy towards living a kinder life. Because regardless of what anybody else does, we always have the choice. We have the choice to decide how we live and how we treat another human being. And we do not have to treat other human beings as disposable objects. They are not. They are living, breathing people, and they deserve our kindness. The same way we deserve their kindness when we're in pain, when we're struggling. I mean, look, kindness is not a one-way street. It's not something that only goes out from us. It's also something for us to receive. But in this day and age where kindness is becoming more and more rare, it behooves us to really show others how to be kind, to stand up for being kind, especially for those, to those people who are different than us, especially to people who are struggling. Now, look, this does not mean that you enable an addict to keep shooting up. That's not kindness either. Sometimes kindness means having to be strong and saying no. And sometimes the kindest thing we can do is say no to people being unkind. And so I implore you this week to stand up for kindness in all different aspects of our life. Not in a passive, not in a giving in kind of way of like, oh, there's nothing else I can do. But to really stand up for what's right in life. And we all know it. Kindness just feels good. And maybe if everyone in the world just felt a little bit better in their life, maybe that would change the world to a slightly kinder world. Who knows? Why don't we give it a shot? Are you with me? All right. So that is my blog post called, the title of which is "The Most Courageous Act is to Be Kind." And of course, you can always find my blog on theconsciousconsultant.com and on the, of course, talkradio.nyc/blog. So that's how we get started. And when we come back from this break, we'll talk about our topic of the day, which is changing how we feel about ourselves. We're going to talk about why we should do it, how we should do it, and what will be the benefits of doing it. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back to continue this conversation with you, my loyal listeners. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. This week, just me and you, no guests this week. Unfortunately, my guest had to change last minute, so it's just you and me. So the topic this week I decided to dive into, and it's something that's been coming up lately for me, was changing how we feel about ourselves. Because we all have these stories that we tell ourselves in the back of our mind, sometimes consciously, sometimes not so consciously, about why we are the way we are, about how good we are, how bad we are, how smart, how dumb, how worthy or unworthy we are. We all have been brainwashed by ourselves into believing one thing or another about ourselves because of things that happen to us, usually pretty early in life, not always. But usually it's those early formative years between the ages of 1 and 7 where things happen. And when those things happen, we start to tell a story around it. Perhaps a caregiver treated us badly. They abused us. They hurt us. Perhaps it wasn't even a caregiver. Perhaps it was a friend, a classmate, a teacher. And so there's this incident. And the facts about what happened could be very, very simple. Let's pick one out of the blue. Let's just say We were in first grade. We weren't really paying attention. The teacher calls on us. We don't know the answer. And the teacher makes fun of us. The teacher embarrasses us in some way. And we feel like we just want to hide. And so the facts are the story. We were in class, we weren't paying attention, the teacher did call on us, and then the teacher did say something that was perhaps not so kind, continuing our theme of kindness. All those facts are true. But what causes us to feel a certain way is the interpretation we make of those facts. It's how we feel in response to it. And the really curious thing is, two different people experiencing the exact same event could have completely different reactions and create a totally different story around those reactions. So one person experiences this and they're like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I'm not worthy. Oh, I should never raise my hand. I need to be quiet. I need to be unseen. Because it's too painful to be seen. Because if you're seen, people will make fun of you, especially these big human beings known as adults. And so we create this whole story around what happened. And this story is something that lives inside of us. We feel it in our body. There are all kinds of chemicals that get released that lodge the memory of this into the cells of our body. So long after this event, we're still shy. We still don't feel good about ourselves. We still feel unworthy. We still feel like if we're called upon, we're going to be embarrassed. It's going to be painful and shameful. And so we spend the rest of our lives hiding. And there could be another person who experiences the exact same facts of the event. But instead of feeling embarrassed or unworthy, has, for whatever reason, a healthier sense of themselves and can recognize, like, oh, you're a teacher. You're not supposed to make fun of students. That's not a nice thing to do. And that individual uses that as a reason to stand up to authority and say, you know what? I need to protect other children because that teacher could embarrass other children too and make them, you know, not feel so good. So I need to call that out. I need to stand up for people who aren't as strong as me. And now that becomes a mission for this other person. And now that person tells that story over and over and over again, and it gets lodged in their body, and that takes them on a completely different trajectory. Now, were the facts of the event any different? No. What was different? What really made the difference? So, of course, there has to be something behind this that led up to that person's reaction. But what ultimately determined how they felt about it was the story, was the interpretation, was the meaning they made from the experience. And we are meaning-making machines. We are constantly making meaning from the time we're born until the time we die. We constantly make meaning out of everything we experience in life. And the thing is, those meanings cause us to feel a certain way about ourselves. And sometimes those meanings can be empowering, as in my second example. But more often than not, those meanings are disempowering, like in the first example. And it's so interesting how for most people in this world, the disempowering meanings are the easier ones to believe, are the easier ones to live into. That it's so much easier to believe that we're not good, that there's something wrong with us, that we're not worthy, than it is to believe that, no, we're whole and perfect exactly the way we are. And that just because somebody else does something that's not very kind, it is not a reflection of who we are as a person at all. It is much more difficult to hold on to that kind of meaning. So, what happens when we create that kind of meaning? What happens when we take in these stories and we live into these stories we create for ourselves from these facts, from what actually happened to us? I'll tell you right after we come back from this next break, because you are listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour. And if you have any comments, any questions, please put it in the live stream. I'll answer them live now. I would love to hear your stories. I would love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear, how did you deal with all of this? What kinds of stories have shown up in your life? And are those stories empowering or disempowering for you? So thanks so much for tuning in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to continue our discussion on how to change how we feel about ourselves.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
TalkRadio.nyc, now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking all this hour about how to change how we feel about ourselves. And what we talked about last segment was all about how the meaning we make from the things we experience create how we feel about ourselves, and how the facts may be right, but the interpretation is up to us. And we can make a different interpretation. The thing is it can be hard to change sometimes our interpretation after the fact. Because initially we make some kind of meaning from the experience. and we start living into it. We start believing it's true, so we look for more evidence that it's true. And so life reflects back that it's true. And so then it reinforces that feeling, and this feeling lives inside our body, lives inside our nervous system. And that's why sometimes, you know, we could have experienced something when we were little kids, and we can now be grown adults and we still feel like that little five-year-old kid. Because it's not just in our minds. It's in our bodies as well. And if you tuned in to the interview I did a couple of weeks ago with Paul Levy, and we talked about how life is like a dream. And in a dream, if we believe something is true, our unconscious will generate all kinds of symbols and experiences in the dream to show us that it's true. And that life is exactly the same way. The fundamental nature of this universe is it will reflect back to us what we believe, what we perceive. And so the more we believe something, the more we tell ourselves the stories that we're not worthy, we're not good enough, that our mother, our father hated us or valued our brother or sister over us or thought money was more important than we are or whatever the story is, the interpretation is that we created, life will keep feeding it back to us over and over again until we take the time and we create a practice to first identify what are these meanings that we hold. These stories that we tell ourselves, especially from such an early childhood, they're living inside of us unconsciously, and we're not even aware of it. We don't even realize we're still telling ourselves that story. Until we stop and we look at what is driving our behavior. If we want to know what is the story we're telling ourselves, we need to look at our behavior in certain situations. Whether it's when a man confronts us about something or when a woman does something, how does that make us feel about ourselves? And what story are we living into when that happens? So we first have to identify and be conscious of those stories. And the challenging part is we're all so busy running around, trying to do so much, just trying to survive, trying to accomplish something, that we don't set aside time to look at why are we the way we are? What are the stories we're telling ourselves that we're living into, that we're constantly finding more evidence is true? What are those stories that we're living into? We don't stop and examine that. So first and foremost, we need to take some time. We need to, if we want to change how we feel about ourselves, we need to step back and give ourselves the time and space to do the deep inner work. To look at what are the important stories in our life that we've made meaning from, what is the meaning we have made from them, and really look at what is interpretation versus fact. Because look, if we were physically abused, emotionally abused, mentally abused in any way, shape, or form when we were a child, that abuse is a fact. And we cannot deny that fact. But what we can examine and then modify and change is the interpretation of that. Just because someone we loved abused us does not mean we're evil, we're bad, we're wrong, we're unworthy. Take your pick, whatever it is for yourself. So look, I'm not saying to change the actual facts of what happened. We can't, because our body won't let us, because our body will say, no, you're just trying to, you know, change the truth. I know the truth, and it just won't be believable, and we won't be able to hold on to that. But we have to ask ourselves, is that really true? Is my interpretation the only interpretation of those events? And it never is. There are always multiple interpretations for anything that happens to us in our life. And so, if it's not the only interpretation, what other interpretations are there? What are the other meanings we could make from those stories? How could we tweak the stories, not change them, just tweak them slightly to take the meaning out, just look at the facts, and then consider other things before we make meaning? One of the most powerful experiences I have ever had was before I went to Israel to see my mom before she passed, and it was the last time I saw her alive. And I did a ceremony that weekend before I left. And for the first time in my life, I really was truly able to see my mother and father as a woman and a man, and not just as a mother and a father. I was able to see them as fallible human beings who've been through their own pain and trauma and were just doing the best they could with what they had. And having that experience just softened everything I felt around them. And I had so much more compassion for them than I ever had before. And I was so fortunate that I was able to talk to my mom one last time in person before she passed. Most people are not that lucky. But even if our parents have passed, even if our abusers are no longer among the living, we can still have a conversation with them. We can still examine the story and the meaning behind the story. And we can still look at what are other possible meanings we can make from this story. That maybe the one we've made all these years is not the only meaning that we could make from our story. So it's not about changing the facts. It's not about lying to ourselves. But perhaps we can reimagine and reinterpret what happened to us through a kinder, gentler lens. Perhaps we can just shift, even if it's just a little bit. You know, I'm a big believer in baby steps. We don't have to completely change the story on its head, but maybe we can shift it just a little bit. That maybe feeling so unsafe in the environment we grew up in We had every reason to feel unsafe, but we survived and we're not in that situation anymore. And we don't have to carry that feeling of unsafety with us through the rest of our lives. And look, this is deep stuff. Sometimes we can't do it all on our own. Sometimes we need real professional help. And seeing a therapist is a wonderful way to help to work on these things. But these days, you know, my wife's a therapist. I know really the latest in the therapeutic psychological world is it's all about body-centered forms of therapy, not mind. It's not about talking through it. Yes, our mind is very powerful. And if we use it properly, it can be our most powerful tool. But the mind cannot convince the body of what the body feels. So we need to find a way to change how it feels in our body, not just how we think about it. That's why we cannot lie to ourselves. We cannot say to ourselves, oh, it's not so bad. Oh, it could be better. Oh, no, it's not that big a deal. It's okay. I'm not that hurt. But if the body feels hurt, the body feels hurt. If the body is scared, the body is scared. If the body is in pain, then we're in pain. And just taking a bunch of drugs to deaden that pain is not going to help us to process it. That's why diving in with some form of body-centered therapy. For some people, EMDR, somatic experiencing, using psychedelics like ketamine, ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, or underground psychedelic work, because it works on a very physical level, the power of it is so immense. So, we've been identifying why we feel the way we feel and what we need to do to change how we feel about ourselves. And so when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit about how do we live into this new feeling. It's not so easy about just make a new meaning and now everything's better. No, there's a physical component to living into this new story, this new interpretation. So let's talk about that. When we come back from our last break, see, the show's almost over already. Hey, I'm still waiting for your comments and questions. Make sure to post them on the live stream. I'll try and get to them before the end of the show. Everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back to finish up talking about changing how we feel about ourselves in just a moment.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right. Welcome back. So we've been talking about how to change how we feel about ourselves. So the first thing we need to do to change how we feel about ourselves is to see why we feel the way we feel, which now we've been talking about it. It's all about the meaning that we create from the stories we tell ourselves, from the things that we have experienced in life. And I do see loyal listener Sanaya say, incredibly heartfelt and greatly appreciated. Thank you. Thank you so much for your comments, Sanaya. I really appreciate that. So we have these stories we tell. There's two aspects to the stories. There's the facts, and then there are the feelings, the interpretation. Facts never change. Interpretation we can change. So now we see that we created a very disempowering meaning that just doesn't serve us. And we're tired of living into that story that doesn't serve us anymore. And so now we create a new meaning. We look at it and we can say, oh, it's not that my parents didn't love me. It's that they were just fucked up and they had their own problems and, you know, they had their own issues they were dealing with. And so we create a new story. We create a story where we are worthy. We just experienced something that was very challenging and we created a poor meaning out of it. We've learned now that there are other meanings we can create. There are other possibilities, not just one, but multiple, many. But now comes the hard part. Now it's about living into that new meaning. It's about integrating that new meaning into our lives. So how do we do that? So, for example, maybe we had created a meaning for whatever reason, for whatever the story was, that we're not worthy. Who knows? Could be a million reasons why. And so because we're not worthy, we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not eating healthy, we're not exercising, we're not doing the things to live a vital, healthy, fulfilling life. And now we have a new story. You know what? Just because, you know, I experienced that pain, this or whatever it is, it doesn't mean I'm not worthy. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me. I'm just me. I'm just different. I'm just who I am. I'm just whatever. So now I want to feel that I'm worthy. I want to feel that it's okay for me to be here. I want to feel good about myself. So how do we change that? So the first thing is we have to do something physical. It's not just about being in our heads all mental. We have to actually physically live into this new story. So if now you're taking your experiences and reinterpreting them and saying, you know what? No, I am worthy. I am a good person. I do deserve good things in life. How are you going to show that to yourself? How are you going to take better care of yourself now to show yourself more self-love and self-compassion? So the act of self-care is how we show ourselves that we believe that we are worthy. So it's reinterpreting our behaviors and saying, okay, how would a person behave who feels better about themselves, who maybe experienced these things, but created a different story than what I initially created? And in this new story, I'm actually an okay person. Well, how would an okay person live? What would be their habits, their routines, their patterns? And if we're not sure, and if we're just like, well, I don't know, find someone. find someone who you feel, because everyone's different, who you feel lives into a pattern of, yeah, I'm worthy, I'm worth it. What are their habits? What are their patterns? What are they doing? And it's not that we have to exactly copy what they do, but we use it as inspiration. We use it as a model. You know, maybe we don't go out and run a marathon. Maybe we just get up a half hour earlier each day and take a walk around the block to start with. Baby steps. But the baby steps have to be actual physical things. They actually have to actually affect our habits. What do we buy when we go to the supermarket? Are we buying healthy whole foods? Or are we buying packaged, processed foods that don't really serve our body and serve our minds? Now, look, we might get some pushback, right? Because we've lived the way we lived with the habits that we have for so many years, decades even. We try and change. It's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel uneasy. It's going to feel weird. That's okay. And that's where having compassion for ourselves really comes in. But this new story needs to be embodied. The new habits, the actions. The awareness is not enough. It needs to shift our patterns, our ways of showing up. And look, like, it doesn't have to be a 180-degree turn overnight. It's just about leaning into the direction we want to go, being a little bit better. What's just a small change I can make today? And then reinforce that change each and every day, little baby step. And then next week, well, what's another little baby step? And then maybe a couple of weeks later, what's another little baby step? Because the nervous system, the body needs time to adjust. When we change something too fast, too dramatically, that's what causes trauma in the body, because it doesn't have time to process the experience. So we need to shift our experience, give the body time to adjust, integrate this new way of being, then make another adjustment. Give the body time and space to adjust and integrate this new way of being, feel solid in it, then make the next adjustment. This is why it takes 90 days to truly solidify a new habit in the body. A lot of people say it takes 30 days to break a pattern or break a habit. Yeah, 30 days is a good starting point. 60 days helps it to be a little more solid, but it truly takes 90 days for it to really sink into the unconscious, into the physical, into our biochemistry within our nervous system. So let's find something that we can adjust. We stick to it for 90 days. After 90 days, we feel good, we feel solid. Okay, what's the next little adjustment for the next 90 days? Now, look, it may sound like, oh my God, I've got so many things to adjust. It's going to take lots and lots of 90 days to make all these adjustments. Well, it may not always take 90 days. And yeah, it may take a couple of years to really fully shift something. But if it's taken decades to get where we are, what is a couple more years? I understand sometimes we've been suffering a lot and we just can't wait for the suffering to be over. But it took us a long time to get into whatever situation we're in. It's going to take a little bit of time to make that shift or adjustment. And once we truly integrated and incorporated in our bodies, we start to stand straighter. We start to feel better. Other people will feel it around ourselves as well. So Let's be kind and gentle with ourselves over this process. And my invitation to you is, between now and next week, my next show, just take one story. Take one event that has happened in your life. Look at the facts. Look at your interpretation of the facts, the meaning you're making behind it. And how can you change that? What would be another credible meaning you could make from those same events? And then from that new credible meaning, what's the shift? And how do you live into that shift? And let me know it. Next week's show. I'm so sorry we're out of time. This has been the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay at talkradio.nyc and on all the podcasting platforms, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Apple, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can always find us. And you can always find the Conscious Consultant Hour on talkradio.nyc. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate all my loyal listeners. Thank you, Sanaya, for commenting on today's show. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.